It's Wednesday, February 15th, and this is Geek Nights. Tonight we talk about Rescue Wings and Kagekara Mamoru.
Let's do this!
So I almost didn't end up going to Katsukan, but it looks like that was resolved just now.
Well, you still haven't gone yet. We don't know what can happen.
No, I'm going no matter what.
Really?
Unless I die or something.
That's what I'm saying. We don't know.
Yeah. But, yeah, for anyone who follows the forums, one of the main reasons we were going is that, well, at least me and everyone else, the other Scott. See, I have two Scotts. I have this Scott, and then I have a real Scott who lives in Pennsylvania.
No, I'm the real Scott. The other one is the other Scott.
Yeah, the other Scott came first, you know.
I guess into the world, yes.
So, yeah, he's also the one who gave us Cowboy Bebop.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's
anyway,
true.
We were going to see our friend Bruce, who was in the Navy, and was going to take 3 weeks of leave just to go to this con and then hang out with his family for a while. And the Navy fucked him, and now he's staying in London, or wherever the hell he is, doing nothing.
Isn't he on some fancy aircraft carrier or submarine or something?
Nah, he's in Europe somewhere right now.
Oh, all right.
I don't know exactly what he's doing. He doesn't really tell us.
It's a magic army scary secret
science. Well, Navy.
Or just something completely mundane and stupid. We don't know.
Yeah, but he's stuck because the Navy sucks, and they took away his leave. They told us just now. But whatever. I'm still going to be at Katsukan. I hope to see at least one or two of you kids out there.
Well, yeah. That's why I'm glad I didn't join any militaries.
Yeah. So in real news, Opera's coming out on the DS.
Opera, the web browser, not the...
Not the things put on by impresarios for my amusement after giving them money, dressing up fancily, and sitting there with tiny little glasses.
Yeah, not big fat Vikings ladies with helmets and pitchforks and such.
Have you ever actually seen an opera, Scott?
Yeah, I have.
Not many of them involve Vikings.
Yes, but you know what? Actually, I saw the Romeo and Juliet in Italian, the opera, in Lincoln Center.
Uh-huh.
And if I would have stayed and bought tickets to the show at night, you know what the show at night was?
Gotterdammerung?
The Vikings.
Oh, what do you mean the Vikings?
The thing you just said.
Gotterdammerung is the fourth part of the Ring cycle.
I don't know. It's one of the Viking ones.
The Wagner ones?
I don't know. But there was a poster outside that had a big, fat Viking lady on it with a helmet holding the pitchfork in the air. It was so hilarious because it was exactly like all the stereotypes. It was just great.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to get into my views on opera because I really like opera. But suffice to say, I don't like Wagner, and I think his Ring cycle, while the storyline and the material and all the ideas behind it are awesome, the actual operas are crap.
Kill,
but anyway.
Kill the web.
All
right.
But yeah, web browser, fully wireless enabled, obviously, on the DS.
I like how it'll have, I saw some pictures. I like how you have, you know, you can browse a page on one screen or browse another page on the other screen.
Yep, or they're talking about how they'll have a zoomed-in view on the top screen and like a meta map view with a box that you can drag around to show what part you're zoomed in on at any given time.
That's pretty cool. The thing I only wonder is typing in URLs might be painful.
Yeah, I'll imagine, you know what, I would just set up a web page to go to and set it as my home page, and that web page would have links on it.
Yeah, that's kind of hackish, though. Not everyone can do that.
Yeah, you know what, everyone else can go to hell.
Well,
I don't have my music yet, but at this point I would play my Rim Doesn't Give a Shit song.
Great. You're going to play that just constantly.
I don't care about much.
You might as
much.
Well just play it for 40 minutes and make that the show.
I don't care about much.
Well, see, the thing is, number one, they might have bookmarks in the software itself, which is okay because you just type them in once and you're good. And you're not going to really use the DS too often. I mean, what would I bookmark? Google, Gmail, Wikipedia. You
Fark
know,
slash dot.
Yeah, those are the kind of things that you would whip out a DS to browse in the net for. You're not going to do heavy browsing on it no matter what. You're going to do, oh crap, I need to check something, or, you know, is that true? Let's find out. Whip out your DS, find out, you know. But what I would like is if I could go onto a computer somewhere and make my bookmarks using my keyboard somewhere, and then that would load it into the DS, you know, over the internet. That would be extra cool.
I see a lot of reasons why that's not going to happen.
Why not?
Because that is still too technical for a lot of people.
Well, no, they just, if you want, you can visit the Opera DS website and manage your bookmarks and such, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You can even visit it with the DS.
I just don't see anything like that happening. I think it's just going to be the web browser. I mean, look, there isn't even any storage in the DS. So you're going to get some tiny piddly amount of cash on the cartridge, and that's it.
Well, I don't even think you're really going to have cash at all. It's just, so much money extra for something you don't really need? Because you're not doing heavy browsing with it. If you're doing heavy browsing with it, what's wrong with you?
A small amount of caching is still very useful, even for light browsing.
Yeah, but I don't think that it makes the thing so much more expensive that it's almost not worth buying. That's what it really comes down
considering
to.
Considering that, I mean, we don't know what this is going to cost either.
Mm-hmm. I imagine it'll be like $30 as a DS game, right?
Yeah, we'll see. I'd like to see it for $15.
I would also like to see it for $15. I would probably buy it for $15 no matter what. But, you know, it's really a question of you're going to have to buy it on a DS cartridge. It's not free or anything. So is it good enough and useful enough as a web browser to meet the needs of what you would use it for being a web browser on the DS? And, you know,
There's no way to really answer that question. We'll just have to wait and see.
Yep, but it's coming for sure.
Which is a good thing. I'd like to see a wave of actually useful applications in addition to the games for the DS.
Yeah.
I'd really like to see a PDA cartridge, maybe calendaring, all that sorts of useful stuff. Maybe a scientific graphing calculator cartridge.
Yeah, but here's the thing is, I have all that stuff in my BlackBerry. I don't even use it.
It'd be nice to have. I would probably have a PDA thing, at least for work.
I wouldn't use it. I don't really, you know, I've had that sort of stuff before, and I've never used it. So now I don't care.
Yeah, when I had a PDA, IBM gave me one for free a long time ago, and I used it every now and then. I didn't use it like some people do. You know those people who can't live without their PDA, and everything in the world is in there, and
scary.
If they lose it, they just die and don't know.
Oh, no. The new trend is to have Moleskine. You gotta have a Moleskine.
All right, yeah, you know what? You've told me about that. And those life hackers, you're all a little silly. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, do you have such a problem with your brain that you just can't remember what you have to do? So you have to organize it using a special system and a special notebook with a fancy name.
Yeah. I'm not wanting to call things pretentious, but goddamn it, life hackers are pretentious.
You know what? It's really fun to say Moleskine.
You know what? It's a moleskin.
That's right. They actually told a story like, you know, one guy was like, what if I wanted to get a Moleskine? What would I do? Go to Staples and say, oh, do you have any Moleskines? And the guy would be like, what? What are you talking about? Oh, you mean the moleskins? Yeah, they're over there.
Yeah, then you can wash some of that there Utna and have a good old time. Get her done.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. So the DS is also going to have a TV tuner, which is cool because the Game Gear had a TV tuner.
Yeah, I wanted it for the longest time when I was a kid. My parents never bought it for me, and my life was no different as a result.
Yeah, the only time I ever saw the Game Gear TV tuner, some kid at summer camp had it. And let me tell you, summer camp is pretty much the only use for the Game Gear TV tuner because there are no TVs anywhere. So you turn that on, and there's anything on the TV for like 5 minutes, which is about how long the battery lasted. And it was like, woohoo! And that was it.
Yeah, I remember my grandparents had a conversion van. And, like, this is when I was, I don't know, 5 or 6. And they gutted the inside, and they put, like, a couch kind of thing in there. And they put a TV, and there's a big antenna. And we could watch TV while we were driving. We learned at that point that you can't watch TV while you're driving. Because if you're on a trip, the channels change immediately and get blocked by things, and it's just worthless.
I remember my cousins had a big van. And they had a little tiny TV in that van, and, you know, we used it. I, you know, watched TV on it maybe 2 or 3 times in my life. I think the only actual use we got out of it where the signal stayed going was when there was a football game, and we, like, went out to get some food and then come back with it. And the football game managed to come in between their house and the food place.
We used it occasionally stopped somewhere, but...
Yeah. It's much better when you stop. But yeah, DS, TV tuner, I'm probably not going to get it, mostly because I don't watch TV. And as soon as they switch to digital TV, it's going to be completely useless anyway.
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
You know what? We're never going to switch to digital TV.
No, that's for sure. I mean, wait, what are we going to switch to digital TV from? No TV? Switch from no TV to no TV.
Well, I point out that The nation hasn't switched to digital TV. No one really wants it except the industry people who want to make money off of it.
Yep. Oh, well.
Yeah. In other news, vaguely related to TV, in the movies, I'm sure you've all heard of Uwe Boll.
I actually hadn't heard of him. I saw the name around. I wasn't sure who it was.
When I first heard the name and just the the internet itself kind of coalesced, and I got this feeling that whoever he was, I probably didn't like him.
That's pretty much the same thing. As I saw this name, Uwe Boll. Like, and then I was like, who's Uwe Boll, and why did they keep mentioning him? And they kept saying bad things about him. So I was like, this might be a bad guy, because all the websites that I know are run by good guys say Uwe Boll's a bad guy.
Well, he is the person responsible for every bad video game movie you've ever seen.
Well, no, that's not true. Every video game movie is bad. So he's
Mario,
not responsible.
Mario,
he's not
Mario.
Responsible for all of them. He's responsible for the majority of the recent ones.
Yeah, all the new ones. Every time you see a video game movie advertised, he's the one who made it.
Yep.
He's in it, regardless of the fact that he's making these bad movies. He's just a terrible director and a terrible guy. Everyone hates him. And the story here is that he recently discovered how much everyone hates him.
Well, we don't know how recently he discovered it, but he recently acted on this discovery.
He basically was interviewed and starts whining about, everyone hates me and they all suck and
yeah, he's like, that's it, I'm not going to make any more video game movies. Now everyone can shut up.
And you know what? The world screamed for joy.
Yeah, and I think the other thing he said is that Peter Jackson and the Halo movie are going to suck.
You know what? I think Peter Jackson could make the Halo movie awesome, and I think he will.
You know what? I think the problem is the Halo movie is gonna suck, and Peter Jackson has contributed his name to it, but he's not actually the director or anything. He's just like the guy who puts his name on it and gives some money.
Oh, really? So he's just a producer or what?
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, great. Never mind. I take back everything I just said.
Yeah, plus, I don't... every video game movie ever has sucked. What reason is there to believe that this one won't?
Wizard was a masterpiece.
No, it wasn't.
Wizard rocked my world.
All right, you ready? I dare you to watch it right now and then honestly say that without laughing.
Fred Savage is awesome. And, yeah.
Yeah. It's okay. So bad.
Now, that, my friends, was an inside joke.
Not very inside.
I have a feeling that
it's inside. Anyone who's cool knows exactly what that joke was.
Yeah, all the gamers out there laughing. And the rest of you, don't worry about it. It doesn't matter. Just forget it. Forget we said anything.
You know how you can tell if someone's cool? If you're listening to this podcast with someone and they just yelled, he's grabbing my breast. Oh, my God.
I was going to yell that, but you beat me to it.
Then that's a cool person.
Yeah,
if you're saying, what the hell, you're not old school, no matter what you think.
I'll point out that the actual quote is, he touched my breast.
Yeah. So I guess I'm not perfect old school.
Followed by an accusatory Phoenix right finger.
Yeah. So if you have no idea what the hell we're talking about, you're not old school, no matter what you think. That's the old school test, everybody.
Well, one level, I mean, there are people older school than us.
Of course. Of course.
I mean, you know, the Atari types.
Yeah, people who... fought for the, you know, the gold chalice.
Oh my God, get this freaking duck away from me. Alright, it's not video game day, so we're gonna stop with that.
We are gonna stop with that. Uwe Boll sucks.
So, things of the day.
Do, 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 do.
You know, we already had music. It played just now.
Well, now we've added a little more.
Alright.
So, I don't know if you know what I know, but I know that I like Eurobeat music.
Yeah, he likes it a little too much.
Well, I like all kinds of music. Eurobeat is just a obscure type of music that I like. It's made in Italy and popular in Japan.
Yep. It got really popular in the AnimeCon scene in the United States for about 2 years. Like, super, super popular, and then it disappeared.
Well, that's because it was associated with these para-para dancing girls.
Yep, which themselves were vaguely associated with Initial D, and it all kind of came together into this, oh my God, para-para is awesome. What the fuck is para-para?
Yeah. Eurobeat, para-para, Initial D, Avex, the record company, all these things combined were sort of this thing. And it's a genre of music that's sort of like hyper high energy electronic singing girls, sometimes singing guys music that I like some of it.
So that is basically Eurobeat.
In case you never heard it before, that's the kind of music we're talking about. Now, the thing of the day here is a new and recent music video of a remix of an old and good and popular Eurobeat song called Night of Fire by Niko, N-I-K-O.
Yeah, Night of Fire is probably one of the most recognized, most well-known para-para Eurobeat-style songs.
And it's a pretty good one, so it's a well-deserved knowing. So the weird thing about this video that makes it crazy, which kind of made my head spin...
It's done by that new pop idol whatever group.
Called Hanoi.
Or Hanoi.
Or whatever. And two, there's this weird fat guy in the video. Later, I found out that's a pro wrestler from Japan.
God.
And you know what I think about pro wrestling? You know, two barely clothed guys grabbing each other.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with homoerotic verbs.
Nope, there aren't, but it's not my bag.
It's not your bag.
Definitely the opposite of my bag.
Must I remind you of the Yaoi couch?
The Yaoi couch is the opposite bag of pro wrestling.
Yeah, see, it's funny, and we've mentioned the Yaoi couch a lot on this show, and the only reason a lot of people haven't asked us about it is that the people who would have the balls to ask already know, because they know us.
And the people who, other people don't know what Yaoi is.
Yeah, but this is anime day, so I figure it's fair game. If you don't know what Yaoi is, just never mind.
Y-A-O-I.
Yeah, just Google
it. Be careful on Google.
Just Google image for it. I think you're really going to like it. Now, one day, I mean, we're not all heterosexual in our social group, but the two of us are very heterosexual.
Very.
Not 100%.
No one's 100%.
Yeah, there's no such thing as 100%, and I defy you to say other, but whatever.
There's even a test that can prove it.
Yeah, but anyway, we're not gay. However, we're very secure in our sexuality. As a result, one day we were at a friend's house, and there were like 10 guys there and like 2 girls. And we're all fighting to sit on the couch. And someone yelled, Yaoi couch, and we all jumped on the couch and fought, and that was it. That's really the whole origin story of the Yaoi couch idea.
Bunch of guys in a couch.
Yeah, if a bunch of guys are sitting on a couch, someone yells Yaoi couch, we all laugh, and that's the end of that.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, there's a weird pro wrestler guy, and he's breathing fire. I get it, Night of Fire, ha 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 ha. What's his name, Koriki, I think the guy's name was?
Something like that.
Yeah, I didn't even know he was a pro wrestler until just now when I did my research on it. And, you know, so it's kind of silly that someone made a serious music video to a Eurobeat song and included a crazy wrestling guy in it, and it comes out...
I don't know how serious this video actually is.
It was on MTV Japan, and on their website, the guy is on the cover of their album.
Yeah, I imagine they know it's funny.
I think that what they're trying to do is promote this pop group using the already popular wrestler guy.
I could see that being the case.
Yeah, because, I mean, the guys who are the age of pro wrestling watching are generally also the age, especially silly pro wrestling watching, are also the age of pop idol liking. But here's the scarier thing. Watch this video, and then come back to this and listen to what I'm about to say. Those girls, you know what year they were born in?
Don't say it. This frightened me.
1990.
Ah!
2. And 1. 1991 or 92.
57 or 58.
But no, 91 or 92. They're 13 and 14 years old.
What the hell?
And when I first watched it, I thought that they were like 20-something-year-olds.
Of course, remember way back we went to the New York Tokyo Music Festival, and BoA was on stage doing a couple of songs.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like 13 back then.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, no, she was 16 then, I think.
Nah, she started when she was 13.
Yeah, but she was 16 when we saw her, and now she's actually a normal age.
Yeah.
She's like 19, 20-something.
I don't know what to think about this.
She's actually doing cool stuff
but
now.
But these girls look like they're our age.
Yeah.
Maybe a little younger. Like 22.
Very scary anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, BoA's doing some video game music now. I think it's pretty cool, actually.
No, really? I hadn't heard that.
Yeah.
I haven't heard BoA in a while.
Yeah, she's still around. She's still popular. I think she's doing some video game because they want it to be popular in Korea and Japan.
Yeah,
because
she can sing in like 9 languages.
Well, no, she knows she's Korean, but she can speak perfect Japanese and English and sing all 3 perfectly also.
Yep, she can also, I've read that she can sing in other languages. Like she can pick up, she might not understand the language, but she can sing in it.
Oh, yeah, lots of people can do that.
Yeah,
but
not
she
many
actually
people
is
can do it
fluent,
well.
Like perfect at speaking English, Japanese, and Korean.
Yeah.
And she's also hot and musically talented.
Yep. We saw her. We were about 4 feet away from her. We were probably the only gaijin in that entire
concert. No, there was the other nerdy otaku guy there with his girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. But everyone else was
just... The bartender.
The bartender.
The other bartender.
I mean, remember when the one woman went up on stage and she was trying to yell at the crowd some directions and she didn't know enough English to do it, so she just yelled it in Japanese and we didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah, that festival doesn't exist anymore.
No. Nope.
It only lasted a year and a half.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
So, my thing, for anyone who knows me, I'm a big fan of blimps and dirigibles and that sort of thing.
Zeppelins?
Yeah, airships.
Zeppelins?
Well, for a long time...
Led Zeppelins?
I have always... Yeah, I'm also a fan of, rock.
Yeah.
But
roll?
Yeah, rock roll. That is rolling rocks.
Metal.
Stones.
Okay.
Yeah. So you take God, and you roll him in some batter, and you make an inside joke.
Yep.
All right, I'm sorry, we're done with that.
It's inside joke day.
It is inside joke day, because also there's going to be no podcast tomorrow.
Yep, you know what? When you're done talking about your thing of the day, I got the greatest inside joke.
Oh, God.
As long as you don't come out with it first.
Okay. So, I'm a big fan of blimps, and it really bothers me that this technology was pretty much abandoned, because actually, blimps are an incredibly efficient way to move large amounts of cargo long distances.
Yeah, think about how much a blimp can carry, like a giant freaking blimp, versus how much a 747 can carry.
I mean, imagine quite literally making a small warehouse, filling it with stuff, having a blimp pick it up, slowly drift in the air currents over the ocean, land, and now you have a warehouse full of stuff, ready to go.
Much better than a train, even. A train has to take all the stuff out of the warehouse, put it into little cargo containers, zoom it on a train, and then take them all off and unload them. With the blimp, it might go a little bit slower, but it doesn't go slow at all. It's pretty damn fast. It's not as fast as a train or a plane, but it's still fast enough. And you move so much cargo per unit time.
Also, it's so cheap.
Yeah, it's like more bandwidth. Like, sure, you might, you know, it might be a lot easier to send something over the network, but putting a DVD on the back of a turtle gets you more data per unit time, you know?
Well, depending on the network.
Depending on the distance also, and the network, but you get what I'm saying. Blimp is like that, you know, it's slower.
I mean, a lot of people have a lot of misconceptions about blimps because they see, you know, the old video of the Hindenburg burning.
Wait. Oh, the huge manatee.
Yeah.
There you go.
That was your inside joke?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, the huge manatee.
I'm not going to go into great detail because this is a thing of the day as opposed to a news bit. But basically, the Hindenburg, the hydrogen in it didn't really burn. It just flashed up and disappeared. All that horrible fire was caused by the fact that they effectively painted the Hindenburg with a substance that we know today as rocket fuel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And modern blimps are actually very safe. And the thing I'm linking to is, imagine a cruise ship that's actually a blimp and flies.
Yep.
It's not a full blimp. The hydrogen in it only supports, I think, 2/3 of its weight. And then it has big turbines and engines to supply the rest. And it actually produces lift with little winglings.
Winglingalings?
If these things ever get made, I would seriously consider going on a trip in one.
Yeah, that'd be much better than going on a trip on a cruise boat.
I mean, it goes a little under 200 miles an hour. It has a range of just thousands and thousands and thousands of miles. It would probably circumnavigate the Earth.
Probably. Yeah, you know what it's like? If anyone's questioning the safety of blimps, I just like to point to like the MetLife blimps and all those other blimps they use for sporting events and things. Have you ever seen one of those go down? Ever.
I would like to point out just to the fact of how many planes crash or how many people die in car accidents. Blimps aren't that dangerous.
Yeah, blimps don't go down. They just float there. That's like, oh, riding on a balloon is dangerous. It's not dangerous at all. It's pretty much
actually
guaranteed.
Ballooning is really dangerous.
Well, ballooning, you know, is only because you're not protected by anything. But
yeah.
Imagine if someone like did precise ballooning, like all the balloons were perfectly evenly spaced in science and everything. That's what a blimp is.
Yeah, but basically, I think that as time goes on, people are going to start using blimps and this technology more and more as they realize that it is a very efficient way to do things, even though it may seem old or crappy to people who don't know better.
We should just start a blimp company and make a lot of money. And anyone who uses us will be able to destroy their competitors.
All right, let's do that. Forget Geek Nights. Yeah, this is the last episode. We're done. We're making blimps now.
Woohoo. Not blimpies.
All right, so it's anime day.
Mm-hmm.
And we watch two shows, as we always do.
Two pretty new-looking shows, I think.
Yeah, one was pretty good. We're not really sure where it's going to go.
Because it was pretty slow.
Yeah, one was the most generic anime I've ever seen.
Let's talk about that one first. It's called Kagekara Mamoru.
Kagekara Mamoru.
Yes.
It's basically, all right, it starts out with it starts out with some robbers being beat by a ninja.
Yep.
Whatever.
Okay.
Then it cuts to, it's the first day of school, and the lazy girl is getting up and going to school.
The clumsy girl.
Oh, the clumsy girl. I think the boy's lazy.
The boy's lazy. He has the swirly circular glasses.
Yeah, the fanboy glasses.
And he's lazy and tired.
And, oh, it's the first day of school, we don't want to be late. And they go, and he's actually a ninja. And she's just whiny and dumb and clumsy.
The story is that his family has been protecting her family for 400 years. So he protects her from all the dangers of everyday life. And of course, they go to a bowling alley.
And there's freaking Yakuza selling counterfeit dolls.
And she gets kidnapped. So he beats up this comic Yakuza boss. And there's another third character who's a girl.
We think she's a lesbian or something.
Or she has the hots for the ninja kid.
It's hard to tell.
Yeah, but if you have any idea of a stereotype of what an anime is, think of all the stereotypes. You know, big eyes, small mouth, cute little animal, ninja. Every single one of those is this show. This is the stereotypical anime.
It's basically a Maho Shonen / Crap Fest.
Yeah, so if you've never seen the default anime before, just watch one episode of this and go, oh, that's the default anime.
I mean, this is about as original as the original season of Sailor Moon. In fact, probably less so. Also, it's very low budget. You'll note if you watch the episode, they don't animate shit.
They animate some stuff.
Almost nothing.
But what they do animate is pretty much just standard modern animation. Nothing fancy. Nothing
people
extra.
Standing there talking. People standing there walking. Someone bowling.
Yep.
And then whenever there's a fight, it's always like there's a ninja and a bunch of Yakuza with guns standing there. The door slowly closes and shuts. You hear a bunch of noises. Then it cuts to inside the room and all the Yakuza are beat up.
Exactly. A lot of times they'll do the trick where you see a solid picture and they pan up or they pan across.
There's this one where he's standing there and they like pan up his leg and then they pan in from the side. Then they pan in from the other side. They pan in like six times.
Yeah, or they'll like they'll cut to the picture really quickly and put some sparkles on it and make a noise.
Yeah, maybe they'll make the picture vibrate a little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The show's not worth watching.
I would say it's worth watching one episode if you've never seen a plain old anime before. But other than that, if don't bother.
It has one funny scene.
What scene was that?
When she was bowling.
Oh, and she was getting gutter balls?
Yeah. There's one funny scene in the show. If you watch it up until she gets her last gutter ball, you're done with it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's funny that the Yakuza guy has a giant Gatling gun in his desk.
No, because I've seen that 1,000 times before. That exact same thing.
I've never seen it with a Gatling gun.
I've seen it with a Gatling gun.
In what show?
I don't remember.
Yeah. Extraordinary claim, extraordinary evidence.
I guarantee you I can find another Gatling gun under a desk.
Not under a desk, in a desk.
All right, in a desk.
As in I hit a button and the desk opens up and provides to me a Gatling gun.
I can find one of those for sure.
All right.
I think, yeah, I might even find one like Trigun or something. I don't know.
So then we watched an actual show.
Well, I just want one more warning about the previous show. Whatever you do, don't let someone who's new to anime or has prejudice against anime watch that show, because it will prove everything they believe right.
Good call.
Yeah.
The show is kind of crap.
It's only useful for a small bit of silliness if you already have seen it.
This may sound dumb, but I guess it's only really for, you know, generic young fanboy fangirls, or maybe the advanced anime palette. You know, someone who's seen everything, and when they see some generic crap anime, they see it for what it is and laugh at it for what it is.
Yeah, maybe. I guess you might not have seen a generic crap anime before, so now you can say, oh, they do exist.
Yeah, there are a
lot of
them.
I'm having a hard time of thinking of another show so generic and stereotypical.
Sailor Moon.
Somewhat.
early Sailor Moon, at least, the first season.
Oh, yeah, maybe. I think maybe, see, I want to say like Jubei-chan, but Jubei-chan was actually a better show.
Eh, Kagehime. All
right, Kagehime is not stereotypical.
It pretty much is, aside from the horrible, yeah.
But it's not generic. Also, you see what I'm saying?
It's fairly generic. Magical girls.
It's a magical girl show, but it's not.
They take a historical thing and they toss it in just to have some kind of plot.
Yeah, but like a magical
they
girl.
They could replace Lewis Carroll with anything and it would have still worked.
But a magical girl show is not as generic as Ninja by Night, Schoolgirl by Day.
You realize that's the same as a magical girl show. It's just shonen, or maho shonen, you know, magical boy instead. There's a whole genre of maho shonen out there.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. All right, we watched a real anime, too. I'd rather talk about that.
All right, let's talk about the real show. It's called Rescue Wings.
Or Yomi Gairu Sora.
Rescue Wings.
Yes.
So, it's about this guy, and he starts out, he's obviously on a train, right? Going to a new town.
Yep, he's got gifts with him.
So, obviously, he's moving. You find that out pretty soon. And you find out that he's in the JSDF. And he's been positioned in this new place. Then you find out along the way that he doesn't really know his way around town, and he's having a hard time getting in contact with his girlfriend. Like, she doesn't pick up her phone, and he's not home to get his phone. He doesn't have a cell phone. So he's having a little relationship trouble with the long distance types. You know, his family's, you know, a normal kind of family. But they're far away also. They worry about him.
And it's really slow, and it's really atmospheric, but the atmosphere is really boring. It's just a mundane kind of, look, he's going to the store. Look, his things didn't arrive yet. He's sleeping on the floor. Look, he's going to work on his bike. Look, he wanted to be a fighter jet pilot.
Yeah.
It's just really, really bland and slow.
I think the point of the show is that they're setting you up for, like, you know, normal, like, real-life drama and occupational drama. I think if we watch more episodes, that the occupational drama will be exciting because the plot is that he wanted to be a fighter pilot. He didn't get to be a fighter pilot. Instead, he got assigned to being a rescue helicopter.
Yeah, the equivalent of, like, the Coast Guard types in the U.S.
Yeah, someone who goes around in helicopters and picks people up in floods and, you know, earthquakes and whatnot. There's an earthquake in the show. And then that's where he gets called in to actually do some rescuing, even though he's still a noob, or, you know.
Yeah, basically nothing happens in the first episode, so it's hard to say where the show's going to go and if it's going to be good.
Yeah. I think I would watch it up until they actually start doing some rescuing to see if it is awesome enough when they do that, because that would be the awesome part of the show, is the stuff that happens during the rescuing and the relationships between him and the other rescue people.
Yeah, we'll definitely get some of that camaraderie humor we like.
Yeah.
Like in Standalone Complex with Bato and all them, or the mechanics in Last Exile.
There's also some camaraderie conflict, because the one guy's like, you suck, you just want to be a fighter pilot, and it's true. But I think along the show, part of the story is going to be how he decides being a rescue guy is also awesome.
Oh, you think? I never would have guessed
You know
that.
What? I'm 100% sure.
You know, no, I thought the show was going to be he still wants to be a fighter pilot, and he hates his life, and eventually he either becomes one or kills himself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe that's how it turns out, and it's awesome.
Oh, it also has the best friend from Academy who got to be a fighter pilot who was in the same base, and he's jealous.
Yeah.
And he thinks the kid looks down on him, and the kid kind of does look down on him.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It was really slow. I hope Scott's right in that it was setting up for fast action. Otherwise, I've really lost interest.
Yeah, I think that's the real problem with the show is not anything wrong with the plot itself or the characters, except that there weren't enough interesting characters introduced early enough. If there are, because right now, as far as I'm concerned, the only characters that are even anything are him and the guy that's against him on the rescue team. Any other character was just completely had nothing to him. They were just people.
There were a lot of really, really long scenes of him just, like, sitting there or walking around town with a shopping bag.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Didn't really catch my interest.
No, not very interesting watching that happen, but...
Though I watched the whole first episode. For that other show, the generic ninja one, I walked out about halfway through to cook some eggs.
I turned the generic show off 80% of the way through because, you know what, there was nothing new going to happen in it.
Yeah, you pretty much get everything you can get out of that show in one episode. This show's going to take at least another episode.
Mm-hmm. I think if the show moved faster, it would be a pretty decent show.
It might still be a good. I mean, Gasaraki moved real slow.
It didn't move as slow as this.
There were times.
There were times, but in the first episode, at least something weird happened.
Consider that in the first four episodes of Gasaraki, only one thing really happens, and the rest of it is just kind of people talking.
Yeah, but in the first
it.
Episode of Gasaraki, there was something happening to get you. In this, there's really nothing in the first episode except it's all set up. And they don't actually get to anything, you know?
Yeah, they even hint, because like, the end of the episode is he's going out to actually do his job, and some music starts playing, and you get this sense that something's going to happen.
The music in the show I like a lot, actually.
Yeah, it's just really laid back, kind of interesting, hard to describe, just real cruising music.
Yeah, it's sort of like this generic music. Well, bro, it's generic day here.
Yeah.
But it's also really good. It's, you know, awesome quality background music. Just default background music, but awesome. I like it. Like, that was the first thing I noticed in the show was when they started playing the background music. I was like, oh, that's pretty good. I should get the OST.
Yeah.
Other than that, though.
Yeah, so those are the two anime for today. Probably no podcast tomorrow unless Scott decides to try to hack something together on his own.
Or I could just get stuff done that I need to get done.
Yeah,
you know,
and once again,
I spend all my time doing this podcast, I don't have time for anything else.
I'll be at KatsuCon this weekend, Thursday through Sunday. If you want to find me, you won't be able to miss me.
In D.C.
Yeah, I may or may not be doing a cosplay. And that was Geek Nights with Rim and Scott. Special thanks to DJ Pretzel for our opening theme.
Be sure to visit our website at www.frontrowcrew.com. If you like our podcasts, you'll love our forums. Make sure you visit them. You can send your email feedback to geeknights@gmail.com. And if you want, you can leave us a voicemail at 206-333-1537.
Geek Nights airs every weeknight, Monday through Thursday.
Geek Nights is recorded with absolutely no studio and no audience. But unlike those other talk shows, it's actually recorded at night.